Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 2018 Healthcare Business Women's Association podcast series. My name is Julie Kelly, and I'm an HBA volunteer leader and your host for our show today. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the HBA, the HBA is a global nonprofit organization comprised of individuals and organizations from across the healthcare industry committed to achieving gender parity in leadership positions, facilitating career and business connections, and providing effective practices that enable organizations to realize the full potential of their female talent. Now, our podcast program is just one of the ways we support our members to achieve our mission, and today our discussion is titled Ready, Set, STEM. And we're going to explore how an education in chemical engineering can open new doors for women in the biopharm industry. And to provide her personal journey down chemical lane, we have HBA member Tawny K. Kuchipani, who is the Senior Director of Contract Manufacturing of Drug Product for Catalyst Biosciences. Welcome, Tawny.
Thank you, Julie.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on board and an opportunity to share my journey.
Excellent. You know, the HBA is on a mission really to expand our membership into different segments in healthcare, and we don't often interview chemical engineers in operations. So let's find out about Ms. Tawny. So Tawny, tell us a bit about your background, your passion, and how you landed in the field of engineering.
Sure. You know, as a young gal, I was fortunate to have a strong father figure in my life who really was a big proponent to remind me of what I was good at, and that was math. And I'll never forget the dialogue that we had when I was, you know, filling out those college applications about, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And to be honest with you, that question was very intimidating. But I was fortunate to have someone by my side to tell me always constantly the motto of shoot for the stars, aim for something that you may never even think of. And so we somehow landed at the thought of, what do you think of chemical engineering? And going through that journey from college to grad school to, you know, work experiences, I've really realized the biggest thing about this whole journey has been about understanding and being comfortable in the unknown. Because that's what engineering is all about, right? It's about building blocks. It's building a foundation. And I have to tell you, I loved math, so it made a lot of sense. And general encouragement around me was basically around knowing how to go through these uncharted territories. And I think that theme was a common value that came from my parents, who were also immigrants to this country. And as you can tell, one would leave their country and come to another country that's going to uncharted territories. And so that was a theme at home. And I felt that I really took that theme and tried to embrace it to really encourage myself in terms of how do I want to, you know, aspire my education and how do I want to take that educational experience and transform it to a successful career.
Wow. That's so really great that you have that encouragement and, you know, and people to say take risks, you know, look what we did and look where we are. So how did you get your first job once you got that degree?
Right. You know, I'll never forget my first job was an unpaid job. And
was that really a job?
Yeah, I know.
You were paid in lunch?
Yeah. I was hungry physically and mentally. And so I went to work at a wastewater facility down in San Diego, California. And at that time, I was just thirsty to start anywhere, and this opportunity came, and they unfortunately didn't have a headcount to hire, but they said, you know, we'll bring you on, gain some experience, but there's no pay. And I said, you know what, you're never too good for anything, no matter where you've gone to school or what your experience has been. So I said, you know what, let's do it. And then from there, I actually landed into an actual job after about a year and a half. I started working at Biogenidec, and that was my first stepping stone into biotech, pharma. And I loved it. And the one of the reminders of why I loved it and what's keeping me fueled every single day, even in my current job, is that it's patient-focused and that we're constantly thinking about who are we serving. You know, we're all serving in roles, and it's for the greater good of our patients so that we can help with life-sustaining therapeutic products to keep them on earth.
Excellent. So you talk about working without pay. I think today we call that internships, and that's a real trend. You know, I see with our generation today, everybody is focused on getting internships during the summer. I was focused on, you know, getting jobs so I could go back to school, but what a wonderful way for you to get experience, and that probably helped to really position you for that job at Biogen. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think what it shows and what it should show for others is that you're never too good enough for anything and that you're there for a purpose. And you have to also realize, regardless of when you graduate with a degree in college, you don't have experience. You've learned things theoretically, but you need to get your hands dirty. You got to roll up those sleeves and get out there and start learning and working with others, because that's where the rubber hits the road for your fundamental learning and starting your career.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's a great point. So you went to Biogen, and tell us a little bit about what you did there and how your career progressed.
Sure. So I started out in manufacturing. Manufacturing is definitely not the glamorous role. It was the fundamentals of understanding a facility and how that operates in terms of how do you make product, how do you get the product out the door and to the patient. And slowly I realized I had another opportunity, and the opportunity was to go into process development at Bayer and Berkeley, and that was more of an engineering role, which was suited to what my educational background was. And from there on, I just really connected with every single day, everything you're doing, it's about the patient, it's about this product. You know, if there's a problem, you got to go and figure it out, because every day it counts in manufacturing when manufacturing's down, right? And from there on, I realized I really needed to go back to graduate school. I fundamentally wanted a little bit of a personal change, but also knew going to graduate school would also help me with my professional journey and continuing on. So I went in and I got my master's in chemical engineering with an emphasis in product development, which is really understanding how to a life cycle of a product, right, from conception to commercialization. And from there on, I went to Baxter Healthcare and spent most of my career there and had a great, great time just bouncing around between engineering and manufacturing, whether it was medical device manufacturing or biologics. It was definitely a challenge, because I can certainly say, as a young female, when you're put into these tough roles, and they're tough in the sense that there's a physical demand and there's also the intellectual piece, you know, understanding the technical piece too, all combined in one, it could be very demanding for one. And especially being junior, I always had the mentality that I could learn so much from everyone and that I was never, ever in a place that I knew everything. And as I built my career, I started also being in opportunities of building teams. And I had, at one point, I had a team size of under a headcount of like 90 direct reports underneath my organization. And I started realizing at that point that, you know, it's not just about me anymore. It's not just about the product, but it's also about the people. It's about every day these people that open the door, and they're coming in and they want to give their best and they want to give their best to their boss. How do I fundamentally make this a great place for them where they just feel like they're not just giving impact to the world and this product, but that they feel like a better person day in, day out when they go from home to work and work to home? And so I've always looked at my career in three pieces. It's the people, it's the process, and the planet, right? So the people piece is the people you work with. You have such an impact on them. People tend to forget. I always remind my colleagues in my reports, I see you more than my loved ones, and that we have to make this a great place. And then the process is all about how do we orientate ourselves around a process to make this work, make the product work, make the process work for the product? And then the third piece for me is always about the planet, right? Like, how are you fundamentally bringing impact back into this world to make this a better place for everyone in totality?
Wow, that is great insight. You know, we never take time in our programming, and I would say even in the HBA Association, to really talk about manufacturing and, you know, how making the product and getting it out is so very important to the health and well-being of our patients. And so it's really, it's really interesting, and I'm so glad that you shared this point of the product life cycle, because we never talk about it. But it's true, people come to work every day, and the fact that they understand that they're making a difference is really important. Everybody wants to feel that way. So it sounds like you've been very successful as a leader in cultivating that kind of feeling within the manufacturing environment. The other thing that you spoke about is around, around leadership, you know, around humility as a leader. Can talk to me about that.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's one of the best skill sets that we all need to serve in our roles. And what I mean by that is you can always learn more and that you don't know everything. And one of the things I learned early on in my career, and a great mentor told me this, he said, you know, 80% of the time you're going to walk around, you're going to watch people, and you're going to pick up and see a lot of bad habits. And try to focus on the fact that a lot of these habits are originated the fact that people tend to come with a lot of ego and pride to say that I know it all. But the reality is we don't know it all. And if we knew it all, a lot of us wouldn't be here in our jobs. And it takes a lot of strength to be very comfortable to say, I don't know, and to ask for help. And I have been positioned many, many times and have been challenged many, many times in situations and in roles and projects where I don't necessarily know. But there's two proponents on that. You got to know how to mentally wrap your head around navigating the unknown territory, which is what I was talking about before. But secondary, it's so critical to ask for help and to know that fundamentally nothing gets done on your own and that fundamentally everything is done together. And so my biggest tip to everyone, and whether you're, you know, just starting or you're mid-level career, you're wanting to hit that C-suite level, you always have to know that you don't know everything and that there's so much more you can learn from, you know, up from horizontal vertically in your organization.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. And that never stops. You know, I'm later in my career and I still continue to learn, which is really important. Now, Tony, you worked for a big company, and then you went and worked for a startup. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about how the experience is different going from a large farm to a startup organization?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So I feel so thankful for the companies that I've worked for in the past. You know, I have built my experience through all those roles, and collectively it's taught me a lot about operational and manufacturing functions within the biotech pharma sector. And what's been great now in my current role and even the previous company I worked for, I'm really taking all that experience in now and working with a product where we can fully get there to launch. And that's really exciting because that's where the rubber hits the road, where you've got a product and you want to get to commercialization. And that's really exciting because you're not just about, you know, trying to launch a product, but you're also learning things that you may have not known. And you also have to wear a lot of different hats because you're much more lean and mean, right? So you don't have all these functionalities of different functions around you. You kind of have to just step in and do the work where you best think needs to get done. And so it really ties in really nicely for me personally where I'm at, because if you want to build and you want to create, it's a really great place to be, and I'm really excited about what I will be doing in the next few months as well, too.
I can't agree with you more. Going from a large to a startup is you really develop new skill sets quickly, and you have to. While you understand, you know, what it's like to operate with a lot of resources, you don't often have that, whether it's money or human capital. And it really pushes you in terms of growth and learning to be very resourceful in the job. So kudos to you for taking that on. What advice would you give other women in non-traditional STEM roles?
That's a great question. I think my biggest tip would be it's all about thinking big and the mindset that you have, right? So I always say, and a lot of times, you know, I'm a mentor to others right now, too, that I've been mentoring, and a lot of the common theme I keep hearing is about, can I do it? And a lot of it's surrounded around fear. And my biggest, greatest tip to everyone is hold your fears back. You know, fear is a false appearance putting out in reality. And you want to be able to just be comfortable with knowing that not everyone around you knows it too. And to be able to just say, I'm going to take the risk. And you know what? What's the worst that could happen? Because if you don't put yourself in uncomfortable situations, you'll never be able to grow. Growth does not come from comfort. Growth comes from disruption and where you have just put yourself in positions where you never thought you could ever be.
No. Amen, sister. I would say, add to that, you know, I would say about all these, ignore the barriers. You know, as a young woman, you have these, you know, we always had these barriers. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. And today it's all about ignoring them, pretending that they don't exist, you know, about having humility as a leader. Don't be afraid to ask and say, hey, I don't know. You have more experience. You've worked here a long time. What do you think? Because you can blend that experience with new insight you bring, coming with a different approach to problem solving. And what would you say about attitude?
Well, in terms of attitude, I think that's everything. If you, you know, I love how I'm seeing a lot of programs that are being built for young females at the elementary level about how to build their confidence and how to make them feel good about themselves. Because at the end of the day, as you grow and evolve, that confidence funnels into your attitude, right? And your attitude is everything at work. You know, I always tell people you can train skill, but you can't train the heart. You know, those things are fundamentally everything that's been churning and burning and learning before you even hit the industry, right? So my thought process is that attitude has to fundamentally be there, the right attitude, a positive attitude. And you have to be hopeful. You got to be a dreamer because you got to think outside the box.
I can't agree with you more. Attitude's everything. You make your own barriers. You know, jump in, take a chance, take a risk, be open to taking on non-traditional roles. You'd be surprised how successful you're going to be. Yeah. So it looks like we're almost out of time. Tawny, it's been a great having you on the call today. I hope we have some engineers listening that have benefited from Tawny's insight. And if you like what you heard, we hope that you'll join the HBA and expand your network and your professional skill development toolbox. So this is Julie Kelly signing off for the HBA. Thanks again, Tawny.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.